Through the centuries, convocations have been formal occasions for academic communities to come together in a common purpose. We are assembled here today to induct the class of 2019, entering class of 2019, into the Winthrop University Community of Learners, as well as to celebrate a new academic year. The entering class includes all new students, most of whom are freshmen, but a number who are transfer students and will graduate in one or two or more years. So you may hear us refer to the entering class of 2019, but also the class of 2023, a reminder that we want you and your parents want you to graduate in 4 years. In 1895, Winthrop University opened its doors in Rock Hill, and 300 students and 20 instructors walked through the gates of this campus for the first time and created a community dedicated to learning. Today, we need to rededicate ourselves and this campus to that spirit of community. We begin our ceremony by introducing the members of the platform party. I will begin by presenting a person I will introduce more fully a little later, our speaker, Jay Caron. Jay, please stand up. Next, I would ask Rock Hill Mayor John Geddes to please stand. The mayor of our all-American city. Next, I would like to present to you the members of the Board of Trustees who are with us today. Our trustees give their time and talent to ensure Winthrop University remains grounded in our rich traditions while also addressing the needs of today's students. I ask each trustee present to stand as I introduce them. Please hold your applause until all have been introduced. Mr. Glenn McCall, Chair of the Board from Rock Hill. Ms. Kathy Bigham, Vice Chair of the Board from Rock Hill. Mr. Ed Driggers from Greer. Mr. Tim Hopkins from Lugoff. Dr. Randy Emler from Tiga K. Dr. Jane LaRoche from Camden. Mr. Robbie Sisko from Florence. Ms. Janet Smalley from Wahala. Ms. Sandra Stroman from Chester. Mr. Isaiah Venning from Rock Hill. Ms. Ashley Wilkerson from Columbia. Mr. Gary Williams from Rock Hill. Dr. Adolphus Belk Jr., faculty representative to the Board of Trustees. And Ms. Imani Belton, student representative to the Board of Trustees. Please join me in thanking them for their good work. And now I'd like to present to you the rest of the platform party, including members of the university's senior staff, our academic deans, and representatives of our faculty, staff, and students. Ask these important members of Winthrop's community to please stand, and please join me in recognizing them for their good work for the university. The distinctiveness of any university ultimately depends on the knowledge, the expertise, and dedication of its faculty. They are talented teachers, scholars, and university citizens, and their dedication to our students is visible in all they do. I truly believe that Winthrop is fortunate to have dedicated faculty who are among the best anywhere. At this time, I ask the faculty and emeriti faculty to rise as we acknowledge your contributions. Please be seated. Another group of dedicated professionals who are also crucial to Winthrop's success and without whom the university would not thrive and prosper is the exceptional Winthrop staff. They manage the day-to-day responsibilities that enable the entire campus to remain focused on the education of our students. Would all staff in attendance please rise as we acknowledge your contributions? Winthrop would not be so successful without the support of many individuals who have given their time and expertise to support the university. I would ask former members of the Board of Trustees, as well as current and former members of the Winthrop Foundation, the Real Estate Foundation, the Alumni Association Board, and the Winthrop Women's Coalition to please stand so we can express our thanks for your good work. Today, we are also joined by public officials whose work on behalf of Winthrop and our community deserves our deepest thanks. I would ask the members of the State York County Delegation, the City Council, the County Council, and any other elected public officials to please stand. Thank you for all that you do. And now, I would like to introduce the distinguished individuals with us today who will bring greetings. First, from the city in which our university is proudly located, the Honorable John Geddes, Mayor of Rock Hill.
Good morning. Welcome to Rock Hill. What a great day this is for everyone in this auditorium. For you who are new to Winthrop University, a new beginning, a new chapter in your life, the opportunity to dedicate yourselves to making your future, our country, and to me, most importantly, this city, resemble all that you deem good in this world. For those who are returning, whether it be students, administrators, or most importantly, faculty, today begins a do-over, a chance to correct past shortcomings, seek new outcomes, and to begin sketching a new design on a brand new canvas. To all assembled, I welcome you to the city of Rock Hill, a new Rock Hill, a city of almost 75,000 people who believe in our shared future. Our strength lies in working together. As individuals striving to do our very best for our families, our friends, and our careers, our individual contributions are what make our broader spheres of influence much more powerful. As organizations, including this vibrant institution of higher learning, one which infuses our community with a sense of reckless abandon, to question things that have always been and dream of things not seen, but known to be just beyond the horizon. As a city, we are the good town, united and ever determined to challenge ourselves to work harder, work smarter, and work faster for the shared prosperity of all people within its boundaries. I'm John Geddes, the mayor of Rock Hill, and it's my honor to welcome you to your new city. As you sit here this morning, there are many different reasons you chose to come to Winthrop. But one theme that probably everyone has in common with their choice, whether you be a student or a new faculty member or administrator, is that choice is based upon opportunity. You see, Winthrop is a university that will afford you a great opportunity in learning and an opportunity for a great future when you leave here. You have chosen Winthrop, and you've chosen well. What you may not realize is that you've also chosen Rock Hill as your home for at least the next 4 years, maybe five. Now, maybe you've never heard of Rock Hill before, or maybe you don't even know where we are on a map, but let me tell you just a little bit about our great city. It is growing and changing, and doing so very quickly. We have seen more growth in business and industry in the past 5 years than we have in the previous 30, and we aren't slowing down anytime soon. All this new development will bring more opportunity to each of you in this room, whether it be internships, new jobs, or chance we hope that you'll stay after graduation and work here and start your career. We're well known for sports tourism or sports competition and leisure activities, from cycling facilities and trails at Riverwalk to the new Rock Hill Sports and Event Center opening just off Winthrop's campus later this fall. It's a destination for sports tourism. It also has a growing arts and food scene. We are home to the first ever state-designated cultural district in our downtown area, which allows you to go out in the evening, have some good food, hear great music, see great art, and have great times, all here in your downtown. But there is one opportunity that you, this freshman class, will have that none before you have had the pleasure of doing. And I believe it is an important key for you to take full advantage of all that Rock Hill has to offer. The MyRide transit system, these buses you saw pulling in today, with the support of Winthrop University, Piedmont Healthcare Systems, and Family Trust Federal Credit Union, we started an all-electric transit system July 1st. Four routes that can and will be happy to take you anywhere around the city, to Riverwalk, a job or internship, to the movies, to Target, and yes, even to each of the four breweries. It will take you all over Rock Hill, and all the routes come together just one block off of campus. Two of those routes go across Winthrop's campus. My ride will open to you all that Rock Hill has to offer, and it won't cost you anything. It's right. My ride is absolutely free to ride. It's free to ride because Dr. Mahoney and the Winthrop Board of Trustees are committed to a well-rounded education for every single one of you.
and they understand that education does not solely occur in the classroom. Go to myriderockhill.com to find out more information, and I hope to see you on one of those buses soon. I hope you can tell I'm really proud of Rock Hill, and not just because I'm mayor. Our city has a lot to offer. It's a great city. It's an all-American city. We would not have been named an all-American city had Winthrop not been a viable partner in that application and presentation, and we're only getting better. I'm so glad you've chosen Winthrop and Rock Hill, and I hope you will make the very most of every opportunity you encounter here. Welcome to Rock Hill.
Thank you, Mayor Geddes. Mr. Glenn McCall, Chair of the Winthrop University Board of Trustees, will bring greetings to the entering class.
Good morning. Thank you, Dr. Mahoney. And thank everyone for being here today. And on behalf of the Board of Trustees, it's wonderful to see you all. And we warmly welcome you here today. A special welcome to our class of 2023. On behalf of the entire Winthrop family, I thank you for choosing to spend the next 4 years with us. You belong now to an extended family of fellow students, educators, professionals, and others who have chosen to make this special place their home. I thank you for enriching our community, as I know you will. Also, I would like to extend a warm welcome to our new faculty members and staff. We greatly appreciate you selecting your employment here with Winthrop. Finally, let me welcome back our outstanding faculty and amazing staff, whom without you, we wouldn't be who we are today. Thank you for working hard throughout the year, and those of you that worked this summer to prepare for this day, this opening day of convocation. We greatly appreciate all that you do, and especially for what you're gonna do for making our new students feel at home. To our returning students, I know many of you have worked long hours already to help welcome our new students and will continue to ease their transition in the weeks ahead. So we thank you also. To the class of 2023, I hope you will learn from these sophomore juniors and seniors. Let them show you the ropes here at Winthrop. They have experience, and not too long ago, the adjustment you will be experiencing as you wrestle with your first class assignments, find your way across the campus, and learn more about Winthrop services and facilities available to you. They are the best resources of information and support you will find during the transition to college life, and the role that they play in helping you to assimilate into our Winthrop family. In closing, I welcome you all again to Winthrop University, and I hope you, our first-year students, will find your first weeks at Winthrop are as invigorating and challenging and rewarding I know they will be. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, go Winthrop.
Thank you, Mr. McCall. And next, Imani Belton, an integrated marketing communication major and chair of the Council of Student Leaders, will bring greetings from the student body.
Good morning. My name is Imani Belton, and I have the pleasure of standing here before you today as your student body president. My journey to getting here was no crystal staircase. About 1,162 days ago, I set foot on this campus as a new student. When I got here, I was excited to have a new start. I was proud of myself as a first-generation student for making it to college, and I was ecstatic that I was finally away from my parents. After my convocation ceremony, I remember going out and speaking to all the student organizations that I was interested in. I was ready to get involved, and I was ready to leave my mark on Winthrop. After applying for my first organization, I was invited for a group interview. I went in confident, thought I'd done very well. Then I was invited back for an individual interview. Before I went to the interview, I was so excited that I bought a new dress. Before I left my room, I looked in the mirror, and then I looked back at my roommate, and then I looked back in the mirror, and I said, "Girl, I got this." 3 days later, I went to the post office to find a letter in my mail that read, "Imani, we regret to inform you." I was a little crushed, but I knew things like this were going to happen, so I pushed for it, and I applied for another student organization. Again, went into the interview, thought I had killed it, and an email later that day came and read, "Imani, we regret to inform you." It was at this point I was getting a little devastated. So I decided from that point only, I was only going to focus on academics. I was in college. Isn't that what I was supposed to do? So for the next 3 semesters, I decided to take 18 to 20 credit hours and literally overwhelm myself with my schoolwork. My daily schedule for the next semesters went as such: breakfast, class, lunch, class, dinner, study group, study by myself, and then going to bed, followed by me going home every single weekend. It was at this point that my roommate and I were also not on good terms, so that kind of helped too. Now, after doing this for a while, I got tired. And one night, as I was studying for my exam, I looked up at my calendar and I read all the deadlines that I had coming up, whether it be papers, exams, and everything that I had going on. And I literally said to myself, "I hate this place." This place where I once felt like myself was now a place full of deadlines, a place full of anxiety, a place full of self-doubt, a place that felt anything but like my home. So, instead of complaining about it, I decided to do something about my situation. I opened my laptop up and I started filling out paperwork to transfer out of Winthrop. But as I was filling out the application to enter into another university, like all applications do, they have application fees. I couldn't afford the application fee at the time. So I decided to wait and submit the application as soon as possible when I could. Since I knew that I was leaving Winthrop, I decided to relax a little bit. I dropped some classes and I decided to get involved on a smaller scale. It wasn't what I wanted, but I was still getting involved to make up the time. And this was the point where I began to love Winthrop again. Because I wasn't spending every waking moment studying, I was getting involved. I was developing as a leader and learning about myself personally. And I was making friends. Friends who challenged me and to grow to be more than what I ever saw myself to ever be. Suddenly, all those no's turned into yeses and acceptances, and I've made it here as your student body president to tell the tale. So, for someone who hates hearing the word no and has heard it more times than some, here's something that I want to leave you with. In your Winthrop career and in the real world, you're going to be told no, and that's okay. When someone tells you no, it doesn't lessen your value. It could mean not right now, or that this isn't your thing and they are being your saving grace by telling you no right now. And I wish I had someone to tell me that back then. I also wish I had someone to tell me that not going home every weekend wouldn't help my career as well. So, with that in mind, I found a quote by Theodore Roosevelt that really struck me. He said, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust, sweat, and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again. Because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who actually strives to do the deeds, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end of triumph of high achievement, and who at his worst knows that if he fails, he will fail while daring greatly." At Winthrop, I can guarantee you that not everything is going to go your way. Because at Winthrop, you're going to work hard for every single thing that you go after. Nothing's going to be handed to you. But when you walk across this stage, whether it be in 3 years, 4, 5, 6, or even 7, know that this is the place where you learn how to be resilient and where you learn how to dare greatly. So, welcome to Winthrop. It's an honor and pride that I welcome you all into our university, and I am genuinely excited for each and every one of you and the journey that you are about to embark on. If you ever need help learning how to navigate through all of this, my doors are always open in Diggs 206. Or you're more than welcome to stop by a meeting every Monday at 7 p.m. in Diggs 114. Thank you.
Thank you, Imani. Ms. Linda O'Connor, Chair of Staff Conference, will bring greetings from the Winthrop University staff.
Good morning. First of all, let me welcome you to Winthrop University on behalf of all the staff here at Winthrop University. It is my honor and privilege to speak with you today. Have you ever sat in a class and said to yourself, I do not understand why I have to take this class. I am never going to use this in the future. I said that once, my sophomore year in college, intro to public speaking. Yes, I'm never going to use that. I had planned to share with you some of the ways the staff can support you and your goals here at Winthrop, to share our mission and purpose, to assure you that we are here anytime that you need us, and we are. But how can I tell you all that when you're probably just sitting here very overwhelmed and excited, or anxious to get back to campus and continue having fun during Welcome Week? Instead, I thought about what you guys are probably going through right now, and what you're likely to face in the months and years to come. And I realized something. We've been there too. Right now, you may be feeling very overwhelmed and nervous. You're in a new place with new people, away from the comforts of home, impressed, probably a little intimidated by the grandeur of some of the buildings, the knowledge of the faculty, and the pomp and circumstance of our beautiful traditions. But you know what? As staff, we've been there. 14 years ago, I was a new staff member on campus, 20 hours away from my nearest family member, no friends, just a few years of college under my belt, no degree, just a mom ready to get back into the workforce. I, too, was overwhelmed and nervous. The campus seemed so big and, well, frankly, very academic to me. How am I going to fit in here? And what if I'm not as smart as everyone else? What if they don't like me? We've been there. At the beginning, there's a lot of adjusting in a short amount of time, but you will adjust. You're going to lose those nerves, and eventually you're going to realize that you deserve to be here just as much as anyone else. While you're here at Winthrop, you may be asked to do some activities or work that's outside of your comfort zone. You may have additional assignments or requirements that weren't spelled out in that syllabus. You may find yourself one day with 10 assignments already due that week, and your professors just added more, and you're going to wonder how in the world you're going to find the time. Friends, we've been there. The staff at Winthrop know what that's like. We have days where it seems almost impossible to fit in another duty, and that's when our supervisor adds another assignment. We know what it's like to be asked to do those things that are not on our syllabus or job description. Here at Winthrop, we like to call those things other duties as assigned. We've been there, and you will get through it. Prioritize, sacrifice, work hard, and get it done. You're going to love the feeling you get when you finish that work. You're going to also encounter a lot of group work here at Winthrop. And whether you enjoy it or not, you're going to be part of a team and you have a role to play. Whether you're a leader, a planner, a follower, or a doer, do your groupmates a favor and do your role to the best of your ability. The staff here at Winthrop work in teams all day, every day. We know what that's like. We know how easy our job can be when you're on a good team. And we know the hurdles that have to be dealt with on those not-so-good teams. And just like you, the staff at Winthrop is made up of a very diverse group of individuals. And just like you, we had to learn how to adapt and appreciate each other's strengths, weaknesses, and personalities. You're going to meet some difficult people in your journey here. Whether it be another student who doesn't share your beliefs and isn't afraid to tell you loudly, or a professor that doesn't accept your excuse for a late assignment, no matter how legitimate it was, or a staff member that just isn't being very helpful that day, you're bound to encounter them. Students, we have been there too. The staff at Winthrop have to work for and with some of the same people you deal with. We know what it's like to have someone get the wrong impression of you, to maybe have a coworker disrespect your religion or political beliefs, or a supervisor who's just not as understanding or encouraging as you might want them to be. Winthrop is made up of wonderful faculty, staff, and other students who do respect you, who do encourage you, who do listen to you. When you meet those people, enjoy them. Talk to them, lean on them, and don't let the difficult ones darken your light. And finally, I want to talk to you about something else that we as students and staff share more closely than anything else: opportunity. Sure, you can enroll here at Winthrop University, go to your classes, do your assignments, get your grades, rinse and repeat. And as staff, we can go to work, do our jobs, collect our paycheck, rinse and repeat. That certainly is one way to be part of the Winthrop community, and it's certainly something I did for my first few years here at Winthrop. But one day that did change for me. One day I found myself face to face with opportunity. One day, someone at Winthrop who cared about me and my future suggested I take some classes and finish that degree. You know, the one I started 20 years ago. Winthrop has a wonderful benefit that allows employees to take one or two classes at no cost. I had excuses at the time. It had just been too long since I'd been to college. I wouldn't even want to do the same major. And I've got no time to go to work and go to school. But as soon as those excuses came out of my mouth, I knew I was missing an opportunity. So I just said, why not? What did I have to lose other than a few hours a week? 4 years later, I walked across this stage with my bachelor's degree from Winthrop University. Thank you. And then 2 years after that, this past May, I walked again with my master's. While I must say that those were the biggest opportunities I took, I had many others along the way. I took a special CRTW course that was all about the JFK assassination during the 50th anniversary of that historic event. The class ended with a trip to Dallas, Texas, to stand on the very spot and see firsthand the area where it all happened. It was profound and an experience I will never forget. I could have taken a regular CRTW class, but this was an opportunity and I took it. I have volunteered to help with various committees and organizations. I attend alumni events being held in the area, and I began to engage with people outside of my own department, and in doing so, I've made very, very good friends. Friends from all backgrounds and experiences. I eventually volunteered to be on the staff assembly, a representative body on behalf of the staff here at Winthrop University, and now I'm serving as the chair. In this role, I've been able to play a small part in affecting change on campus for the better for staff here at Winthrop University. All that to say, I am a better person today than I was 14 years ago because I took advantage of opportunities that Winthrop has afforded me as a staff member on campus. And as students of this wonderful institution, your opportunities are far more vast than you can imagine. You can study abroad, play a role in student government, participate in, or better yet, start a student organization, volunteer to help with campus and community service projects, tutor a student, work on campus, hang out, play games and digs, listen to a concert. Yeah, you could just go to class, do your assignments, get your grades, end your degree, and leave Winthrop someday as an alum. And yes, you will still be part of our Winthrop family. But to all the students and staff here at Winthrop, please consider taking advantage of opportunities while you're here. You'll be a better person for it. And when opportunity comes and you want to get involved, but you aren't sure it's the right time to start or where to start, let me leave you with this. Start now. Start where you are. Start with fear. Start with pain. Start with doubt. Start with your hands shaking. Start with a voice trembling, but start. Start and don't stop. Start where you are with what you have. Just start. Thank you. And on behalf of the staff, welcome to Winthrop.
Thank you, Linda. And finally, Dr. Adolphus Belk Jr., chair of the faculty conference and faculty representative to the Board of Trustees, will bring greetings from the faculty.
It is my distinct honor and pleasure to welcome all of you to Winthrop on behalf of this group, your amazing faculty. And I am very proud to be counted in that number. I thought long and hard about what I would say to all of you doing something like this for the first time in my career. And the most important thing that I could think of was change, because you are in a season of change. All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change. These words were written by Lauren Oya Olamina in Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler. Butler was a queer black woman with a learning disability who became a world-renowned science fiction writer. From my vantage point as a faculty member, this epigraph can help you to think clearly about how to brace yourself for what is going to happen here at college. It's a different world than where you come from. Freedom, maybe too much. Responsibility, you are now the master of your fate. You have to exercise discipline. There's a new language, FAFSA, FERPA, HMXP, CRTW, PLSC, SUIF, WTF. That's what the fudge. There are unfamiliar policies and practices, and it's a lot to take in, and as my colleague Ms. O'Connor stated, it can be very overwhelming. So the question is this: how can you succeed and thrive in college? The answer, change. You have to change your outlook. You left home, but you are not alone, especially those of you who are first generation, come from working class backgrounds, or from underrepresented groups. Just look at your faculty and staff. Faculty and staff, please raise your hands high if you were a first-generation student coming from or you were from a working-class background, or you're from an underrepresented group. You are not alone. Identify and use your resources. Dacus Library, the Center for Career and Civic Engagement, the Office of Nationally Competitive Awards, the Office of Diversity and Student Engagement, the Counseling Center, the Office of Accessibility, and I hope you never need it, but it's here, the Office of Victims Assistance. These are just some of the resources that are at your disposal to help you navigate this space. We want you to succeed and thrive. Change. Change the way you work. Don't just work harder, work smarter. Develop relationships with your professors. Ask them for insight on how to approach the work so that you can work smarter. Plan your work, work your plan. We want you to succeed and thrive. Change. Change your circle of friends. Peer groups are a powerful agent of socialization. They can build you up or they can tear you down. My friend, Dr. Willis Lewis, likes to say that iron sharpens iron. I believe that wholeheartedly. Choose your friends wisely and choose people who will help push you in a positive direction, because we want you to succeed and thrive. Change. Change your attitude about success. It might not come easily. It might not come when you expect it, but you have to keep pushing because we want you to succeed and thrive. Change your attitude about failure. There are lessons to be learned both in our mistakes and in the errors of others. Any Avatar people, and I'm not talking about the blue people in space, I'm talking about Team Avatar, Aang and the gang. As much as people look at that animated series and focus on Aang, it's as much about Zuko and his struggles to become a better person. So like Zuko, acknowledge and accept your mistakes and then work to quickly correct them. We want you to succeed and thrive. Finally, when I was in a crowd like this as a freshman, a senior university administrator stood up before us and said, "Look to your left. Now look to your right. One of you will not be here in 4 years." And as a 17-year-old who was a couple of days shy of his 18th birthday, I thought that was an awful thing to say. It was an awful, mean-spirited, deflating thing to say, even if it were reflective of the data. I don't know who needs to hear this right now, so I'm going to say it to all of you. You are enough. And we need all of you to be here in 4 years. You have the capacity to change. So don't let anyone make you feel like you're less than. Don't let anyone make you feel like you don't belong here simply because you need time to change. Just a few things so that you can succeed and thrive. Thank you.
Thank you, Adolphus. Our convocation speaker graduated from Winthrop in 1996 with a degree in history. He is the CEO of the National Golf Course Owners Association, where he leads the Golf Industry's Trade Association initiatives to support the success of the golf course business. In his role at that association, he chairs the board of the industry-wide advocacy coalition, We Are Golf, and serves as on the Golf USA Tee Time Coalition Board, a joint initiative of the PGA of America and the Advisory Board of the World Golf Hall of Fame. Jay is married and has two children with Carrie Lindrup, class of 1999 from Winthrop University, and is a past recipient of the Young Alumni Award and the Professional Achievement Award from the Winthrop Alumni Association. The last time he spoke at convocation was in 1994 as Winthrop's student body president. I am pleased to introduce our convocation speaker for 2019, Jay Caron.
I figure since Dr. Belk, you look great with a beard and bald. I didn't need the hat. Thank you very much. Wonderful words. All right. Greetings to the classes of 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025. I really can't say the class of 2023, as you can hear the theme, because some of you might actually matriculate early, and some of you may love it here so much you're just going to stick around a little longer. I get it. Some days I wish I could come back, live in Thompson Hall, meander to the cafeteria for some Lucky Charms around 10 a.m., meander to Chris Van Aller's political science class around 11, good to see you, Doc, and then maybe back to my room and take a nap. You know, the truth is, I could actually do it again because Dr. Van Aller is still here. Lucky Charms are a thing, I believe. I wouldn't know. My wife doesn't let my kids and I have any in the house. Hashtag not bitter. Greetings also to the board, faculty, staff, and alumni. Faculty, who was here during the years 1992 to 1996? Please raise your hand. It's good not to see you again. Thank you, President Mahoney, for this great honor. I'm thrilled to be back on campus, a place that holds a special place in my heart. My wife, class of 1999, sends her regrets for not being here. She said, well, I never went to convocation back then, so why start now? No, she loves me, I promise. Actually, our kids have their first day of school today back in Charleston, and we're bringing home our first ever puppy today. So it's going to be a hectic day in our house. And my advanced apologies to the Winthrop staff who asked me to keep the speech 10 minutes or under. I once had aspirations to be a college professor, the evidence of which lies in the high feeling I have right now at this moment as I grasp this podium. I might be here a while. You know, today I'm not going to make any grandiose platitudes about changing the world, although many of you will change the world. No grandiose platitudes about making your life's work, about, changing the healthcare system, or, you know, setting a new discourse in politics, or inventing new economic models for our world, although some of you will do that. My story is simple and small. I am one of tens of thousands, actually hundreds of thousands, of young people who have walked the pathways of this campus and sat in those classrooms. I'm just one small story. You know, on YouTube, I watched President Mahoney's 2015 convocation speech, his first year at Winthrop. It was a wonderful story about his college journey. I suggest all of you go to YouTube to watch it. With your help, we can get the number of views over 700. We can do it. And you have two thumbs up, but no thumbs down. Come on, freshmen, we can do this. You know, Dr. Mahoney, I was seriously thinking about repeating your speech word for word, just to see how long it would take for someone to remove me from the stage. Or would you? It would have been a very interesting social experiment. In 1991, the summer before my senior year at Parkview High School in Lilburn, Georgia, I went to a college fair at the Gwinnett Place Mall. A bunch of southern colleges and universities had set up tables in the mall where admission staff were handing out pamphlets about all the colleges. This was pre-internet. The only ways to learn about colleges were to go to a college fair or your guidance counselor's office where you had a thick book of all the colleges. That's really the only way to learn about schools. And I guess the only way to reach high school kids was by going to the mall. Brilliant. I had my heart set on Rice University, Emory, or Duke. At the fair, I stopped by the Winthrop College table. It was called college back then. And picked up some information and threw it in my bag of all the other college materials. Later, when I was applying to my chosen schools, my dad said to me, "Choose one more, son, a wild card school." I chose Winthrop, even though in my mind I'm thinking elite schools equals success. So I applied to this state school in Rock Hill, which I had never heard of, nor had I ever seen. By the way, we used to call them state schools, but today the state barely funds 10% of Winthrop's budget, but I digress. As I was competing for scholarships at Emory, Rice, and Duke, I was pretty quickly notified by the admissions office here at Winthrop that not only had they accepted me, but they were going to give me a full-ride scholarship, tuition, room, and board for 4 years. It's nice to be wanted, isn't it? Side note, in 10th grade, there was a dance called the Sadie Hawkins Dance, where the girls were required to ask the boys to the dance. That's when Julie Blanton asked me to the dance. That was a role reversal and a total game changer in my life. This previously shy kid all of a sudden joined every club, became class president my junior and senior years, and was voted most likely to succeed, all because a girl asked me to a dance. Okay, back to my Winthrop story. So I had been used to me wanting other schools, and all of a sudden someone wanted me. It changed my perspective. Needless to say, after a campus visit, I fell in love, you know, the idyllic college campus. The staff of the admissions office and the office of student life were obviously in love with this place as much as anybody, and the feeling was infectious. Now, I promise that the 4-to-1 girl-to-boy ratio in 1992 had nothing to do with my decision. Now, while I kicked off this speech with a thesis about being wanted and how great that is, that's not the point of my delivery to you today. Go out there and base your self-esteem and your life decisions on how others feel about you, especially if it involves girls. Now you can do it. No, that would be pretty shallow. Now, today my thesis is about the value of saying yes. It started for me when I dispelled with the myth that success equals what other people mean of it, but rather what I mean of it. Leaving for Winthrop in the fall of 1992 felt like success. I was going somewhere that felt good to me. I said yes to the invitation and yes to my inner voice about this place. I now have for you two anecdotes about the value of saying yes, two chains of events that began at Winthrop and have impacted me all through the years in so many ways. Now I'm a middle-aged 45-year-old dude who couldn't be happier. I have achieved that senior superlative of most likely to succeed because I get to define what success means. Along the way, I was very intentional about saying yes to things at Winthrop. Now, these are not perfectly linear stories, but rather two windy trails that led to where I am today. As Dr. Jason Silverman would say at the start of his history lessons in Kinard Hall, fasten your seatbelt, because I'm going to talk rather quickly. My apologies to our sign language interpreter. Story number one, Richardson Hall, Saturday night, March 1993. I'm hanging with my buddy Josh Foster from Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, who is working the front desk at Richardson Hall. I notice he's sketching the Greek letters Kappa and Sigma on a notebook. I asked him, "What's that?" He explained it's a fraternity he has joined, or what's called a colony of a fraternity. There's a group of guys who were trying to start a Kappa Sigma chapter here at Winthrop. Josh didn't fit the very typical mold of what I had imagined was a fraternity guy. Very funny guy, but very, very serious about his studies. He didn't really party. I was like, tell me more, Josh. He said, "Well, we have a meeting tomorrow night in Dinkins. You should come by." Now, here's a seminal moment in my life that my wife loves to make fun of. I replied to Josh, "A meeting? A meeting? I'm there. Not, man, we're going to have this great party. You should come by." A doubting internal voice was telling me, "You have an invitation to check out a fraternity. Seriously? Are you going to do this?" I said yes. I ventured into a room where I didn't know anyone other than Josh. What I encountered was not expected. In 1993, to see white and black guys in the same room trying to make this fraternity thing work, guys from conservative rural corners of South Carolina and liberal corners of New England, straight and maybe not so straight guys, hey, it was a time when no one was out of the closet, but we accepted everyone for their character. It was amazing. So what happened because I said yes to Josh Foster in my internal voice in Richardson Hall in March 1993? A few things. In January 1994, I went to the men's basketball game with my fraternity brothers. And you see, I would not likely have made the mile bike ride to a basketball game if I wasn't in Kappa Sigma. Upon arrival at the Coliseum, this very place, every patron was given a blank piece of paper on which to write your name. We were told there would be a contest at halftime. Fantastic. At halftime, they rolled out a brand new two-door Ford Escort into the middle of the basketball court. The windows were rolled down about 4 inches. Someone on a loudspeaker says that we are to make paper airplanes out of our piece of paper we were given. I obliged, grabbed one of the guys, dragged him down 17 rows to the second row, and I said, "Kelvin, I'm going to win this thing." Someone with a microphone was sitting inside the car, and he belted out, "Okay, everyone, on the count of three, throw your paper airplanes at the car. One, two, three." Among a sea of paper airplanes, I watched mine sail right towards the car and just kind of disappear as it neared the car. The guy inside the car yelled, "We have a winner!" He called my name, and I was transformed to The Price is Right. I came running down to the court to claim my prize. It was the most exciting thing ever. A picture of the winning moment actually hung in the walls of Substation 2 across Cherry Road for many, many years. Now, I sold that baby for $10,000 cash money the next day. And what did I do with that cash money? I went to Europe in the summer of 1994 with my pledge brother, Dale Peoples. We had a first-class plane ticket to Athens, Greece, and a return ticket from Paris, France, without a single plan or place to stay in between. I have another story to tell you about the power of yes. The moment we landed in Greece, we got invited to a four-day adventure to the Greek islands with 12 girls. But I'll save that story for your commencement in a few years. What else happened because I said yes to Josh Foster? I ran for Student Government Association president because I wanted to jump in now with both feet at Winthrop. I had a new group of friends all over campus. I had the biggest margin of victory ever in Winthrop's history in that student election. Did I mention that I ran unopposed? Let me tell you, that experience as student government president made this 20-year-old a better executive even up to this day. I learned how to get comfortable in a boardroom with important people in an intimidating setting discussing consequential things. Nothing prepared me better for job interviews or what I do today, which is manage boards, associations, representing entire industries where I get to speak at conferences, work closely with members of Congress, the White House, etc. What else happened because I said yes to Josh? My very first job after Winthrop was at the headquarters office of Kappa Sigma Fraternity in Charlottesville, Virginia, which ended up being the start of a career in association management leadership. Through this organization, I made lifelong friends and mentors who made a big impact of my life. Two of those guys are right here, Grant and Rhett. Good to see you guys. Thank you. Thank you. With my BA in history and certification to teach social studies from Winthrop, I moved to Charleston in 1997 to get my master's degree. Two of my chapter brothers, Mike Fickling and Matt Morris, lived there too. In the summer of 1999, the three of us thought, you know, we ought to get in business together, you know, because we have no money and no ideas. Well, one of the guys stumbled on this condo downtown Charleston that was for sale, and we figured we'd buy it and rent it out. Downtown Charleston, right next to the action of College of Charleston, the price tag, $70,000. But we had to come up with the $14,000 for the down payment. With the long-distance advice from a mentor in the fraternity, we formed an LLC. Then we asked this mentor, hey, could you loan us $14,000. Without hesitation, he said yes and said, you don't need to make payments on the loan, but when you sell the place, you give me my $14,000 back plus 20% of whatever your profit is. Fast forward 18 years to 2017, I finally sold it and sent this gentleman a check for over $60,000. But from that purchase, I parlayed the growth and equity in that tiny condo into several other condos and rentals around Charleston over the years, buying, renting, selling. Soon I'll break ground on a new multi-unit townhouse project in Charleston. And 20 years from now, I'm going to sell that development and make a fat donation to the Winthrop University Foundation. none of which could have happened had I not said yes to my inner voice in that invitation in the March of 1993. Story number two. Rewind back to the summer of 1992, freshman orientation. I drive to Rock Hill from Lilburn, Georgia, a lonely and somewhat scared kid. At the start of orientation, I find myself sitting alone in that substation 2, grabbing a little lunch. There's a group of fellow pre-freshmen a few booths away having the best time. They're laughing and singing, actually singing. The most joyful group I'd ever seen. I'm a natural introvert, so I was just fine eating my Italian sub with extra peppers all by myself. I must have looked very pitiful because the group said to me, "Hey, come join us." So I, overcoming my comfort zone, said yes. Despite my introvert tendencies, I slid over. It would have been easier to say, "No thanks, you guys enjoy yourselves and keep doing whatever it is you're doing." But I said yes and found my first group of friends at Winthrop. All incoming freshmen from the Lowcountry area, specifically Goose Creek and Ladson. Any Goose Creek and Ladson people here? All right. They all knew each other and were excited to begin their college journey together. Michael Miller, Valerie Johnson, Heather Huesinger, Wes Carver, Christy Hamilton, Amy Hyman. Connecting to new friends was the most important thing in the world at that time, though I didn't realize it. I lived on the fourth floor of Richardson Hall my freshman year, the same floor as two of my new friends, Michael Miller and Wes Carver. That made dorm life pretty fun and wonderful. And because I was really loving life on campus in the dorm, I decided to be a resident assistant, an RA, a kind of hall monitor. As a sophomore, that was kind of a big deal. I was entrusted with the lives of my fellow hallmates. Okay, it really wasn't that serious, but I had a clipboard, and the power of the clipboard is intoxicating. As an RA in Richardson, I became close friends with guys like Kevin Calhoun and Darnell Lester, whose skin was a lot darker than mine. Growing up in Lilburn, Georgia, I didn't spend any time with people who didn't look like me because there weren't any. Becoming friends with these guys led to things like being an orientation assistant together and even being invited to Alpha Phi Alpha and Kappa Alpha Psi step shows where at the time you would never have seen a white person. My eyes and minds were opening and I was saying yes to all the people around me. People were embracing me and I embraced other people, even sought out people who were different from me because life became more interesting and I think I became a better human being. My senior, I was an RA in Thompson Hall. Saturday afternoon, November 1995, I'm working the front desk of the dorm. Saturday afternoons at the desk of a dorm are usually really quiet, for obvious reasons, not much going around. So around 2 p.m., I get a call at desk from a disgruntled resident complaining about noise coming from one of the rooms on the girls' floor. So I took the clipboard, straightened my collar, and made my way to the third floor, where I encountered two young ladies, Sarah Brooks and Carrie Lindrup, roommates causing a ruckus in their room. They were laughing and carrying on, and I had to tell them to quiet down. One of these young ladies, Carrie Lindrup, was a freshman from Charleston. Not long after that experience, I would run into Carrie on campus and would see her at parties at the Kappa Sigma house. My stories are coming together now. Carrie and I became very close friends my senior year. Even after I went to Charlottesville, Virginia for my first job after graduation, we kept in touch, get this, through handwritten letters in the mail. I still have all of those. You have to realize 1995 was the first year the internet arrived on campus at Winthrop, and email at the time was only a student-to-student thing. There was no emailing people outside Winthrop, and you had to go to the computer lab to check your email. When I moved to Charleston in 1997, Carrie helped me get a part-time job to earn a little money while I was getting my master's degree. That job was the assistant to the event director at the National Golf Course Owners Association, NGCOA, and my boss would be Carrie's mother. This is working out great. While Carrie went back to Winthrop for her junior year, I was back in Charleston working for her mom during the mornings, going to grad school in the afternoons, and going to her parents' house on Sunday nights for dinner because I had no money and they would feed me. The part-time job quickly turned into a full-time job and eventually a career. Now, you see, back on campus in Rock Hill, Carrie was actually dating one of my fraternity brothers. But things weren't going so well. The moment they broke up in March 1998, her dad storms into my office at work and says, "They broke up! Now's the time to swoop in, my boy! Let's buy her some flowers!" I'm thinking, "You're crazy, old man!" But fast forward 2 months, and Carrie is home for the summer in Charleston working part-time at NGCOA. Our friendship quickly blossoms to something the kids now call friends with benefits. President Mahoney, do you know what that means? Okay. All right, just checking. So fast forward through the summer of love, and it's August 1998. And Carrie is going back to campus for her senior year at Winthrop. And my job at NGCOA is thriving. We had to have the conversation about seeing other people when she goes back to school. I was like, can we just play it cool and be flexible? She's like, yeah, okay. Now, she gets in her car, and I don't think she makes it past exit 199 on Highway 26 before I start having the shakes. I find myself having separation anxiety. I called her later, and I said, yeah, I was just kidding. I don't want you to see anyone, and I don't want to see anyone else. Are you okay with that? She said, okay. I immediately think, I want to marry this girl. She's super smart, funny, my best friend, incredibly hot. What more could I want in a mate? So, October 1998, I make my way to campus with a ring in my pocket. I'm 24 and she's 20. Yikes. It's a Sunday night, and her sorority is scheduled to have their regularly, you know, scheduled weekly meeting at Sims Science Building. I figured there is no way she'll say no to me if I ask her to marry me in front of 60 other girls. At the end of the meeting, I swoop in. I'm just realizing that's the second instance of swooping in my speech, which makes me a swooper. I swoop in on bended knee and ask her to marry me, and she says yes. The plan worked. Because I said yes to the Low Country gang of friends in Substation 2 in June 1992, I gained lifelong friends, became an RA in the dorms, met Carrie Lindrup, got a job at NGCOA, which propelled me into a 23-year successful career in management and leadership at national organizations where I get to do some pretty amazing things for big industries. Oh, and I got the greatest gifts of all from saying yes. I got a daughter and a son out of the deal, too. Guys and gals, I've told you only two simple stories of saying yes to opportunity and invitation. There were so many, many more moments in my life at Winthrop when I had a choice to play it safe and say no thanks, or stretch, learn, and risk and say yes. And I said yes. I'll leave you with this. The world operates on connections between people and through life experiences. The breadth and depth of your human connections and your experiences are directly proportional to your propensity to say yes. Personal and professional growth are only found in the uncomfortable areas. You will never get uncomfortable if you always say no to the invitation or no to that inner voice in your head, which means you will never grow, never learn, never prosper. Saying yes means you are adding value to yourself and your surroundings, just what the Winthrop Dedication for Excellence charges you to do, to leave Winthrop and our world a better place for my having been here. Many choices here will feel insignificant at the time, and yet they will be so big in their impact. It was a small thing to work in the office in Thompson Hall that Saturday afternoon. It was a small thing to say, yeah, I'll check out that meeting with you, Josh. It was a small thing to overcome my instinct to sit alone and say yes to those crazy kids in Substation 2. Yet this collection of yeses among thousands of others has been like buying little shares of stock. When you follow the trail and the accumulation of that stock over the years, the value increases and increases and increases over time until you realize you are sitting on a life's worth of treasures. Classes of 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025, let yes be your watchword and your response to the invitations and opportunities in life, and there are countless of them here at Winthrop. You will never have another time in your life like this, never. There will be plenty of time after Winthrop to say no to things. That is my story, and because of walking these pathways and sitting in these classrooms, I'm living a rich life based on those choices. And I hope that means I'm having a positive impact on the world around me, leaving it a better place for having been here. Congratulations on the most important yes of your life. You said yes to Winthrop. Best of luck in your journeys, and thank you for this honor.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you for talking about the power of saying yes, which I'll talk about in just a bit as well. I now ask Ms. Belton to return to the lectern to share with you Winthrop's dedication for excellence.
Thank you, President Mahoney. The dedication of excellence was created in 1994 by the Student Government Association and revised in 2011 by the Council of Student Leaders. It is a document which expresses the ideals the entire Winthrop community are committed to uphold. Today, I invite you all in attendance to join me in reciting the Dedication of Excellence, which you will all find in your program. Please stand and read along with me. As a member of the Winthrop community, I agree to dedicate myself to the to the pursuit of intellectual, cultural, personal, and social growth, to show commitment to the future excellence and achievement at Winthrop University, I affirm the following. Academic integrity. I will dedicate myself to the pursuit of knowledge and truth with honesty, integrity, and accountability for my decisions and behavior. Freedom of speech. I will respect that I can exercise the full range of my freedom of speech and will respect the rights of others to express themselves as guaranteed by the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. Personal responsibility. I will assume the full responsibility for myself in all respects for my actions, thoughts, personal growth, and development. Global and cultural diversity. I will value the diverse cultural perspectives as well as value all individuals for creativity, the achievements and contributions each brings to our community. Consideration of others. I will demonstrate a concern for the welfare and rights of others, and I will respect the dignity of all persons. Social responsibility. I will actively contribute to my community through service and leave Winthrop and our world a better place for my have being here. Civic engagement. I will acknowledge that participation is vital to democracy and will be an informed citizen and voter. Environmental responsibility. I will recognize the importance of the environmental stewardship and will acknowledge the ecological and aesthetic consequences of my actions for future generations. You may now be seated.
Thank you, Monty. Through research, we know that by far the best way of predicting the success of a class is to look at their achievement in high school. You will find yourself challenged by your peers. You're one of the largest and best equipped for academic success classes that Winthrop has ever enrolled.